Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here from the El Pacifico, and we are awaiting a visit from Ted Bell of Ted's Beverly Hills, who has not been with us for a while. As a matter of fact, I was reminded of the length of time that Ted has been away from us by last night's final hour. We had a repeat of a Ted Bell hour, one that I'm not going to say it brought a tear to my eye, but it certainly reminded me of Ted. And so we're going to have Ted Bell coming on now tonight from, let's turn off that, bud. Yeah, let's get the iTunes off of there, bud, please. Okay, there you go.
Morgan for the life.
Steakhouse, come on down.
What do we have here? Okay, do you have Mr. Bell?
Stand by.
Mr. Bell?
Stand by.
I'm not standing by. We're on the air, bud, okay?
We want to be right in your life. Were we on the air?
No, we were not on the air.
All right. Do it again, please.
All right, Ted, but we're on the air now.
I understand. Do it again, please, because I pay money for those commercials.
All right. We have to wait for the commercial to re-queue.
You're waiting for the commercial to what? Ladies and gentlemen, hi, it's Ted Bell here from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I hope you do come down to our restaurant and enjoy it, but we're going to have this commercial run one more time because I've had this commercial, quite frankly, misfire, and it has been done improperly enough times whereby I'm not going to stand for it. I'd like you guys to close the door back there. I want you to keep the noise quiet with the trays, please. Eduardo, keep the noise quiet with the serving trays, please. Eduardo, where's the... Do we have the commercial, Phil?
We're waiting for it to queue up. I'm sorry.
Oh, my.
Sorry.
God almighty.
Ted's Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hi, this is Ted Bell from Ted's Beverly Hills. Come on down and enjoy one of the thickest, juiciest Kansas City steaks. The tenderloin, the prime rib, nothing beats our meat. We want to put it in your mouth.
Here at Ted's,
and I didn't mean to use that beat our meat because that was the one line I didn't want to use.
Well, that belongs to somebody else.
Yeah, it belongs to whoever thought that line up. Now, that's what I call trash. I don't call that family friendly. I call it pretty cheap, and I think it's a indicative of, we want to put our meat in your mouth. It's been something that we have used for a great many years. We're very proud of it here at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Phil, thank you very much. It's great to be on the program tonight.
Well, we are very happy to have you on the show. You did request a little bit of time.
Well, I wanted to get on the air, and I wanted to be heard on something before anybody else was heard on the topic. I don't know whether or not you got the news, but the shooter on the SEAL Team 6 raid on the Bin Laden compound, Phil, it turns out the shooter in the Bin Laden compound raid may have had the story wrong. Esquire magazine might have had the story wrong. I want to get out ahead of it and make my comments on this before you get anyone on your program. I think that your show in the past has had a tendency to have perhaps some individuals that are not what I would call to be the most informed individuals, and I wanted to get out ahead of this.
All right. Well, I think you're going to have some people questioning, Ted, your qualifications. You own a restaurant, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that.
I'm an American citizen. I have a constitutional right.
I'm not disputing that at all. You're absolutely right. But as an expert,
let me just say this, Phil. I have paid very close attention to this story because it was for me, as it was for a great many Americans. It was a very exciting time, I think, for all of Americans, and we had gotten news that this man Bin Laden had been neutralized or had been terminated with extreme prejudice, or if you want, he was terminized. This is a word that it sounds made up, but it is used in the military. To be terminized is to be exterminated. It's to be terminized is to be exercised or excised and terminated. And it still is one of the red letter days. I'm an American citizen. I have an opinion on this.
I know, but I just wanted people to know
that I own a steakhouse. That's fine. Ordinarily, I'm very proud of that. Ordinarily, I'm very proud of that. When you say it that way, it's as if I've got the smell of grease on me, and I don't like that. My father used to say that.
Well, all right, Ted, I'm not putting you down for it, and I don't want to get into a whole big put-down. You know, you're a steakhouse owner, and it's a great steakhouse. You're one of our sponsors.
I understand, but I just want to say one thing. My father would come home at night, and he would sit in a chair, and he had a drink, as he usually did, and that's a story for another time. But he worked hard, nonetheless, and he would sit in his chair, and he'd look at his hands, And my mother would come in, and she'd sit down, and she'd look at him. And, you know, my father's name was Ted Theodore as well.
Yes.
And he would look at her. My mother's name was Grace. And he would say to her, you know, as successful as I am, honey, I still got the stink of grease on me.
Well.
Yeah, no, and I'll never forget him saying that. And it, for him, that was symbolic of something. I think it was symbolic of failure.
Well, there's a lot of guys that, a lot of guys of that generation, they didn't go to college, and they felt really small, you know? They didn't feel, the guys today don't go to college, they don't give a damn, as long as they're successful.
No, yeah, I understand. Today, it's all about the money. It's all about the money.
Yeah, back then, a guy could be wealthy, but if he didn't have a college degree, he felt less than a lot of guys.
Yeah, I understand that entirely, but that was my father, see? But unfortunately, my father, as I told you, though, he had ruined he drank up the profits on the steakhouse initially. We had to bring it back, my brother and I, mostly me, because my brother wound up being hospitalized for alcoholism. My sister did as well. My nephew did as well. We had a...
Good God, Ted.
Yeah, we had an entire family that was wrecked, you know, with the alcoholic problem. But getting back to this story, my father would sit... And he'd say, at the end of the day, no matter how much money I've got, I still stink of grease. And I'll always stink of grease, garlic, olive oil. And he would say, you know what, I'm nothing more than just another, you know, olive oil soaked. And he'd get up and he'd walk mumbling to himself into the kitchen for, you know, to refill his glass.
So he was very ashamed of what he did.
I don't think he was ashamed of what he did so much as he knew that no matter how much money he had, he still smelled like a guy that just had been working in a kitchen. And
well, you know, Bob Green had come on our program. Bob is the owner of a grocery store. I should say a grocery chain.
No, Fraser Food.
Right.
We buy a lot of our meat from Fraser Food. I think they've got a very high quality cut of beef.
Well, that's great, because I think Bob would appreciate you. He knows that, right?
I don't think I've ever talked directly to Bob. I think we've kind of danced around each other a little bit. I don't think he knows me. I wouldn't know him to look at him. But we do buy, I think we buy our meat from Fraser Foods. It's either them or we buy them. It's either them or it's Vons or Kroger's. I forget which one of the three.
Well, Bob said to me once, he said to me once that I may stink of celery, but it's my celery.
I'm sorry, Phil, I'm trying to think of where do we buy our meat, Bobby? Where do we buy our meat? Where do we get the meat that we serve the steak? Manning's house? Yeah, okay. Who else? Redlow's? Maybe we don't get it from...
But did you hear what I was saying?
About Bob.
Yeah, Bob would say... At the end of the day, you know, I may smell of celery and produce, but it's my celery and produce.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know. You know what? It is that Manning beef locker.
Oh, boy.
All right, Bill. The reason why I came on your program here tonight, and I know we have a commercial break that we're going to be getting into, and I want to do that, but I want to get on your program tonight. I want to correct some misconceptions. I've got my eye on this SEAL Team 6 story, and it keeps changing. I'll tell you something else that's really got me worried, and it's really got me upset. The main shooter, the guy that opened his mouth to Esquire magazine, I think he needs to be censored. I think that if he keeps on talking, we're going to have a problem. And, again, I'm not a professional soldier, but I think at some point you have to tell someone in no uncertain terms either shut your mouth... Or you have to be, you know, God forgive me, terminated with extreme prejudice. And
No, you're not talking about killing a guy.
Well, hold on, Phil. I mean, we're talking about a very top secret organization. And
you're not talking about, this is not a movie.
No, I know it's not a movie. Let me tell you something, my friend. I have a great deal, I've done a lot of studying of this, and please don't think that I'm just a guy with a stink of grease on him. So you're doing that. You're doing what they did to my father. I am telling you that if this SEAL Team 6 guy keeps running his mouth, there's a problem.
All right. Hold on. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is on with us. Where's Margaret tonight?
She is doing a report or something.
Yeah, she might be late.
She might be late. All right. Well, I want to get her on the phone anyway because I wanted to comment on this. Tad Bell is with us talking about the latest expose coming from, well, it's not the latest expose, but latest series of comments about SEAL Team 6 and the operation to kill bin Laden. Originally, an article in Esquire magazine identified who the shooter was, and this man made some statements that now other members of the team are disputing. The whole thing has gotten far too public. We're going to be talking with Tad Bell about it in just a moment on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I want to know I want the names of all of them. Every last one of those guys on SEAL Team.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I forgot my glasses downstairs. I hope you'll forgive me. And we do have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on tonight. We're talking about, well, we're not just talking about the restaurant business. We're talking about world news. Yeah.
All right, Phil, we are talking about world news. And what happened to the commercial? I just heard it. Hold on. Get that Puerto Rican kid to get the serving trays. We got to do it again, please.
Okay, Ted, what happened?
We need to do the commercial again because I got you pulling.
Bud, what is it with you?
What do you mean?
I heard you pull the music down.
Yeah, I knew I heard something. Meanwhile, I got Eduardo over here. What are you doing? Leave the serving trays where they are. Get the water on that table. Look at this. Three tables back there with no water on it, Eddie. I don't know. We'll get it. Sorry, Phil. Can we go again? Yeah, there we go. All right. Hey, everybody, Ted Bell here. Yeah.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
All right.
Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, listen, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. We have got a fantastic, every single day, something different. Pot roast, roast prime rib. We've got the prime rib. We've got the chops and steaks. More
Ted's.
Prime rib, more chops and steaks.
You wanna put
and, it's amazing. It's just, it's amazing what we are able to do at Ted's of Beverly Hills with a cut of meat. A cut of meat, a little bit of imagination, a great chef that we have in Dale Fitzpire, who has been with me now for the last 11 years, Phil.
He's a great chef and a fantastic guy, too, a great raconteur.
Oh, he's got more stories, and we don't know if they're true, and we don't care. That's what we say about Dale. We don't know, Dale, whether you're telling the truth. I don't know where he's from. He says he's got this whole biography.
Biography?
I'm sorry, yeah, biography. And I said to him, Dale, is any of this true? And he kind of winks and he turns and takes another sip on the... And Dale is one of these guys that even though he's never far from a beer. In the kitchen, if you go back, and one of these days, Phil, when you come out, I'll take you back and we'll watch Dale work with the other guys, his sous chefs and all the prep chefs. And he's always got that glass of... what is that beer that he drank? St. Pauli Girl? St. Pauli Girl. And I tell him, I don't know why you drink that, excuse my language, urine.
You know, oh, man.
Well, are you kidding me? I'm St. Pauli Girl. That's no good. But that's what he drinks. But I'm telling you, I've never seen a guy, you've never seen a man work more magic with a piece of meat than me on my wedding night. Huh? What do you think?
Well, it's not much of a family joke.
Oh, well, excuse me.
All right, Ted, I'm sorry. It was very, very funny.
Yep.
Okay, we need to... So Ted's of Beverly Hills, folks, it is a great place, and Dale Fitzpire is a great, great chef. And Ted is on tonight to talk about the SEAL Team 6 and the story from Esquire magazine. Okay, Ted, you're on, man.
Yeah, okay.
Ted, do you want me to... What's going on?
Well, I mean, what's going on? What's going on, he asked me. I had a little joke I wanted to roll into it.
I understand. I'm sorry that I didn't react the way that you wanted me to. I thought it was...
You thought it was what? You know, I've got a kid. I got a wife. Don't you think that I know what family-friendly is? Don't you think I'm the kind of guy that is going to respect that? I set that line up. I wrote that line last night, knowing I was going to be on the show tonight. And I knew I was going to be talking about Dale... And I knew that I wanted to say something about making magic with a slab of meat. And naturally, you're going to make an adult.
Well, Ted, you are the guy that said that you didn't like what people had been doing with your slogan.
That's what people are doing in the commercial, but on the program. And you're going to make me look a little stupid, that's all.
I apologize. Do you want to tell the joke again or something?
Well, I'm not going to be able to tell it again until the next break. So let's just put that aside. Let's just say, all right, that's an opportunity that has been thrown into the garbage can, and it's an opportunity like my father's life. My father's life was an opportunity, and that's been thrown into the garbage can. All right, so let's talk a little bit about this SEAL Team 6 and what they did. Phil, I know I'm a restaurateur, but I'm Ted Bell, and I'm known in our city, so that when people say, you're Ted Bell, I'll say, yes, I am. And they will want to talk to me about things other than the restaurant. They want to talk to me about things other than my business because...
Would you say that you're like a de facto mayor of Beverly Hills?
In a lot of ways. And I would never take anything away from our good mayor. I don't know the man's name. I don't keep up on that. I keep up on Beverly Hills politics. I just don't keep up on a lot of stuff that goes on in Beverly Hills I don't like. A lot of it has to do with fundraising. There's a lot of social events. Marcy likes to go to them. I can make only a handful of these, and I've got a little bit of an axe to grind with those because Marcy sometimes is escorted to one of these Beverly Hills functions by some of these professional escorts, and I've got a serious question as to just how, whether these guys are keeping their hands to themselves. I think they are. I think Marcy would never let anything happen.
Well, that's too bad that she has to, that you can't make yourself more available.
I got a business to run. I mean, wow. Well, that's pretty judgmental, isn't it?
No, I'm just saying that it's a successful business, and perhaps... Look, it's your business, and I apologize.
Well, there you go. Bingo. There's the magic word. It's my business, you apologize. So that's... I'll accept that. What I'm trying to say, Phil, is people will stop me, and they'll say, Ted, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? I was down at the Daily Grill, okay? I go down to the grill because they've got a nice beef... They got a nice beef tartare there. Other than that, I wouldn't eat there with your mouth, but... They've got a tartar.
Boy, that's a guy that you have to coexist with.
What do you mean coexist?
Don't you're in the same city. He's another restaurant owner. Don't you have to, get along with guys?
I didn't say anything that bad.
You said you wouldn't. Other than that, you wouldn't eat there with my mouth.
Well, all right, I take it back. There are some things that they do very well at the Daily Grill, and there are some things that they do so badly. I wish that. I wish the health department... Well, all right, I better not say.
See, that's what I'm talking about. It's a little bit of a slam, and I don't want it to reflect on my show.
No one's going to say, oh, I heard Ted Bell talking S blank, blank, blank about the Daily Grill on the Phil Hendry show. It isn't going to happen. The point that I'm making is I can be anywhere, and people will say, hey, Ted, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And I got a guy the other day that walked up to me, and I shouldn't say walked up to me, he staggered up to me because I was at the Daily Grill, and I was having a drink, and this guy came toward me, but he was walking. Have you ever seen a guy walk sideways while he's actually trying to get to you?
Yes.
Well, that's what was happening. And then I recognized who it was. It was Paul Danson, and you know who he is, right?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, at one time, he could have owned this town, and now he is he's a guy that's on the edge. He's a guy that's about ready to fall off.
What did he do?
He sold... gold, he sold and bought. Anyway, he asks me, I don't want to get into what he did because he's got about $75,000 of my money. He said, Ted, what do you think about this SEAL Team 6? I said, I think they're very good. He said, well, did you read the article? This guy running his big fat mouth. I said, no, I didn't. And that's when I got investigating into this thing.
All right, we're going to have Ted to talk. Give me an idea before we go into the break what your overall problem is.
Problem is these guys are talking too much. Yes, I own a restaurant, but I know a little bit about a lot of things, and I've known guys that have been on special ops, and there's too much talk, and I think they need to keep these guys' mouths shut, okay? And again, if they want me to go back to Washington and testify...
What are you going to testify about?
I'm going to testify about some of the things that I know. I'm not saying I'm a SEAL member. Obviously, I'm not. I'm not saying any. I know some people. All right?
And so who do you know?
That's really none of your concern who I know. But I know some people, and these guys on this SEAL Team 6 are talking too much, starting with the guy that allegedly pulled the trigger. And somebody needs to tell him to shut up.
All right, Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We'll be back as he talks about SEAL Team 6, the center of an article by Esquire magazine that is now getting even more heat from other members of the team. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Hey, I told you to take those serving trays.
Phil Hendry.
We've got the filet of sole, and of course, we've got USDA prime steak. And don't forget the small single steaks that we have, our steak for two, steak for four, and of course, the classic Ted Bell ribeye steak, which is the ribeye steak, Phil, is my favorite. I know you're on a diet, or what do you eat?
Well, I am still dieting. As a matter of fact, I got to get back and get, I've been kind of blowing it out a little bit. I'm back up to 225.
What's wrong with that?
Well, no. 210 is where I need to be, and frankly, I've been trying to get down to 200.
You gotta eat like a man, and that's the thing, Phil. I appreciate the diet. I don't think there's a man out there that doesn't appreciate the fact that you've battled that weight and you've conquered. I think you have, and you've gotten down to the really good weight. But you gotta eat like a man, okay? And don't eat like a woman. And there's nothing wrong. I don't mean anything against the gals, but the gals are going to eat what the gals eat. They eat the little they pick at their vegetables, and they, oh, waiter, can I have another glass of wine? And that's what happens with Marcy. I love her dearly, but she winds up vomiting, and I shouldn't have said that, but...
Vomiting from what?
Well, she's putting wine on an empty stomach. What do you think's going to happen?
Oh, well, she's got to eat.
Well, what do you think I tell her? I tell her, I said, eat, will you? And she picks at the greens, and she, just let me have another tomato. And I say to her, baby, and she, I like her small. I like them small. She's a size 4. She's gorgeous. And I get depressed if she gets bigger than that.
Well, Ted, no wonder the girl's not eating anything.
What? You're going to put that on me?
Yeah, if you're the guy that wants her a size 4.
Wow. Look at you.
Ted, if you're telling me that you like your wife small and then you're asking her to eat, that's the kind of mixed message that drives a lot of women, into anorexia, to be perfectly honest with you.
Whoa, hold on. Don't start in with a lot of psychology and giving me a heart. Are we going to talk about this guy Bin Laden or not?
Yeah, all right, fine.
I mean, all I'm saying is I love my wife. I love her figure. Isn't that good that a man loves his wife's figure?
It's fantastic. It's great that you're enamored of your wife's body. But the fact is, if you say to her, I like you to size 4, and now she's drinking her lunch.
She drinks her lunch? Yeah.
Okay, do you want that?
No, I told her to eat.
Well, what is she going to eat?
What is she going to eat? She's got a husband that owns a restaurant. Hello? I mean...
Yeah, but she's not going to eat anything that's going to make her any bigger than a size 4. Can she have a steak?
Of course she can't have a steak. I won't allow that.
Then what are you going to let her eat?
She can have, fish? We've got the shrimp. We've got the crab louie.
Oh, that's great. All the shellfish, which is loaded with fat and cholesterol.
Oh, will you give me... Look, Dr. Hendry, would you mind just leave it to me? Okay, I'm her husband. I'm a restaurant owner. I will feed my wife. I know what she can eat.
Well, the shrimp and crab louie is going to do it.
Crab louie, we got shrimp louie, crab louie, we got, I always make the joke, if it's named louie, we got it, I think we even have a bellboy, what do you call him, a busboy?
Yeah.
All right, I forgot, we got a busboy by the name of Eduardo.
Not louie?
No, why would he be named, that crab louie, yeah. What I'm trying to tell you is that, it's my business. And
all right, well, let's move on then, and... we're talking with Ted Bell here about SEAL Team 6. We have General Galen Shaw, who is going to come on the phone with us here in a moment to talk at least from a professional standpoint, what he knows of the SEAL Team operation.
I wanted to jump in for just a minute if I could, Bill.
Go ahead.
I was not aware that you're going to bring on General Shaw. And you know, this is the Ted Bell segment. I got no problem with that. I respect our military, but I was not aware. And anything he says is going to have a professional, which is fine. I just want to let the audience know, people listening, that, you know, I came on. I have my opinion, too. There's going to be a general. I think it's unfair to have him come on to make what I say sound like I'm a, I guess you could just use the word, like a dork or something, because...
Why do you say that?
Well, how do you think I'm going to sound with a general here? And I'm giving my opinion, now I sound like a dork when a general comes on. That hurts. And that's the second time tonight, when I told the joke about my meat working magic. Excuse me for saying that.
All right. General Shaw, are you there?
Well, I'm right here, and can I just say to Mr. Bell, first of all, sir, I've eaten in your restaurant. It's outstanding. Thank you very much, General. And I'm not here to make you look like a dork, sir. I'm a retired general, and so I don't have the wearing the stripes any longer. I do have military expertise, but I'm not here to do anything other than give my opinion. Well, yeah, okay, but everyone knows you're a general. It doesn't matter.
Well, let me ask you, General, first off, what do you think of these SEAL team members expressing such public opinions?
I think that I agree with what Mr. Bell has said, that the members of the SEAL team need to be told in no uncertain terms now to keep their mouths shut, or they're going to face serious disciplinary action, which would include a stint in the federal stockade, if they continue this superstar act that they're going through. Now, I know our SEALs are extremely skilled men. I think they're all highly trained, and the country is grateful for the service that they've rendered. However, were I their commander, I would tell them in no uncertain terms, the party's over, you keep your mouth shut at all times, or you will be looking at a stint in the stockade. I wanted to just jump in, if I could, General Shaw. When you talk to members of the military, I think you're going to be surprised at how much I do know about this. Don't you have to say to them a much stronger kind of thing? Well, I think I stand in the stockade. No, I'm not talking about a prison sentence per se. I'm saying, you say, well, I'm going to, you know, put you in a prison, but there are words that are used, Bill, and I think that you probably heard them. There was a phrase that was used, standing tall before the man. I've heard the phrase standing tall before the man. I've heard a lot of these are in-service phrases that are used by the members of the military. I think, in other words, if you're going to send a message to these guys, you've got to tell them, essentially, you're going to take a giant dump on them, or they'll be standing tall between a man. I don't know what he means by between a man. I mean, standing tall before the man.
What are you talking about, Ted?
Well, see, if I wasn't on with the general, you wouldn't say, what are you talking about? You would feel that... Forget it.
Well, Margaret Gray is joining us.
Great. What does that mean?
Hold on, Margaret. What's going on here tonight, just so I know?
I thought I was going to have a conversation with you. Now I got the general, and now you've got a woman?
And what? I happen to be a journalist. I don't have, as you put it, Ted, the stink of grease on me.
And you know full well that I said that. God.
Billy, let me say, I don't want to be involved in something that's going to turn into this kind of childish back and forth.
But I trust me, General, you're not going to be. Margaret and Ted, I want you to have your says. Ted, I think that you will do well to forget about whether you look like a dork or whether you got, I'll take a giant dump on you, or standing tall before the man. Let me just ask you, General Shaw, does that kind of phraseology and that kind of hard-ass talk have much effect on a Navy SEAL, do you think?
No, I can tell you, Phil, it's him. How does he know? You're in the Army. Excuse me, sir. I'm not...
the SEALs are not going to be cowed necessarily by the kind of talk they receive from a commander. The essential effect of what they're being told is what's going to do it.
And let me say this. I've interviewed a number of Marines and during all kinds of wars and all kinds of conflicts. What Ted just said about taking a giant dump on you was from the film Full Metal Jacket.
All right, so what?
Well, I think what you're getting your knowledge of the military from the movie, you know.
Let me say, Phil, the Full Metal Jacket was, I'm not familiar, but it was a military film that had phrases like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was a movie that was made about the Marines in Vietnam, and it was Arlie Ermey was a...
All right, Lee Ermey, okay, I know who that is. Whether or not they say things like, I will take a giant dump on you... Can I say something? Well, I'd like to finish. Yeah, well, I was interrupted. The Marine in the movie says to the guy, he says, answer my question or I will take a giant dump on you. And the Marine says some smart-ass stuff, and he says, answer my question or you'll be standing tall before the van. Now, don't you say that. I've never said those phrases myself. I can tell you I've not been prone to that kind of phraseology, as Phil puts it. I just say directly to my soldiers, you'll answer my question or you'll be facing a summary court-martial. And that's about as plural as I get.
And that's it. I don't think they go into a lot of fancy talk.
Is that right?
So what difference does it make, okay?
The difference is these SEALs need to be told. Don't you agree with that, General?
No, I don't agree. They need to be told that they'll get a dump taken on them.
Well, then how are they... I think, and by the way, I'm a mother, and I'm a wife, and I'm a woman, and I don't like... And I also didn't like...
Here we go. I'm going to get this speech. You know, Margaret, when you give a speech like that, and everyone knows...
What does everyone know?
Well, I think...
Can we please not be personal?
Well, I think that her saying...
Excuse me, I'm a mother, and yes, and a woman, and I didn't like... The only magic meat that I know of is... You know, my wedding night.
I didn't say that.
Well, that's what you intimated, Ted. You told the joke. That's what you intimated, right?
I told a very good joke. I told a very good joke, all right? Are we going to get back to talking about the man that took a giant dump? Is that what you want to talk about?
Okay, I tell you what we're going to do is we're going to take a break right now.
Come on,
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Margaret Gray, Ted Bell, and General Galen Shaw on the SEALs. And on how you're supposed to talk to soldiers to tell them to batten down the hatches and, you know, shut up. And Ted's joke, which I forget now, to be honest with you. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What was the joke that I told?
I forget. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills as we continue our discussion of SEAL Team 6.
Ted's of Beverly Hills, Steakhouse, come on down.
Right, not only are we talking about SEAL Team 6, but we, in the bar right now, have some great college basketball, UCLA and Arizona. All right, that's a tape. Forget it. That's...
Here at Ted's.
I thought that was a live game. I apologize. And I don't. And by the way, at Ted's of Beverly Hills, we're very proud of the fact that we do not allow soccer on our television in the bar.
Now, can I ask a question?
No, because I'm not done with talking about my commercial, if that's okay. You don't let soccer. I was going to say my nephew plays soccer. Very sorry, General, that your nephew plays soccer, because I won't allow it in the prime rib room. I will not allow it in the prime rib room. Let me repeat that.
You won't allow it in the prime rib room. We heard you.
I got to tell you, Phil, as soon as General Shaw came on, I knew we had problems. But when Gray came on, I knew that it was a disaster in the making.
And why is that, Ted? Because I have an opinion that's decidedly against yours.
because of the fact that we're talking about SEAL Team 6, which is a group of young men who did great service for the United States of America, only to come back to the United States and disgrace themselves and the military.
Whoa. I'm going to say something here, Phil, because as a general, I appreciate the support of any individual of our military, but they did not disgrace themselves so much as they have said some things that I think are out of line, and they need to be addressed.
Well, let's get to what it was that was said exactly, because I think that we owe it to my audience to get to this article. Now, what has happened here in the last few days is that there are members of SEAL Team 6 who don't like the Esquire article that was originally published, I don't know, last month or something. In this article, there were some things that were said, some statements made, primarily statements made by the supposed shooter. Now, who the hell this guy is, or how they know he was him, I have no idea. Maybe he was identified by other members of the group. Perhaps he just went ahead and stepped up to the plate and said, "Hi, I'm the guy that killed Bin Laden." I don't know. I'm just going to ask my guests to hang on very, very briefly here while I look for that article. I got Judge Judy's son, bud. Where is that? In any event, what basically got said was that the SEAL Team 6 members said that what was in this Esquire article was a load of crap, that it was not true, that there was a lot of stuff that was distorted, and they want to be heard, but now they're being told to keep their mouths shut. I think the first person that I'd like to comment on that is you, General Shaw. Go ahead.
Well, Phil,
hold on. I want to hear from General Shaw.
Thank you, Phil. I'm not particularly, as a commanding officer, I don't think I'd be particularly interested in what it is that these young men, what their opinion is. My personal feeling would be that they keep their mouths shut until such time as they are given permission to speak publicly about this. I don't think it does anyone any good to talk at length about the operation, particularly since so much of it has been wrong, or so much of it is in dispute. And I think that at the end of the day, you have to tell these people, you keep your mouth shut,
or you'll be standing tall before the man.
Oh, my God, Ted, how many times does he have to tell you that's not what they say?
It's not the way I address my men.
Well, okay. And by the way, no, I didn't hear that in Full Metal Jacket. I didn't hear that in Full Metal Jacket.
Where'd you hear it?
I heard it from individuals who have... See, what's happened here?
Ted, you have come on this program. You've never been in the military. You're trying to affect some knowledge that you do not have.
I'd have to agree with that, Phil.
And you are, take a giant dump on you.
That's what they say. And for you to say that I sound like a guy, that's what I mean. And this is what I was afraid of.
What?
I told you.
He was afraid of looking like a dork.
Yes, I was afraid of looking like a dork. Okay, Margaret, go ahead. Cue you.
You do look like a dork.
You see how predictable you are? You see how predictable you are?
Well, you do look like a dork.
Yeah, but do you see how predictable you are?
No, I don't. I don't see how predictable I am.
You don't see how I said I was going to look like a dork and you just said it?
No, I don't. You do look like a dork. It's got nothing to do with what you predicted.
And you will at night. You won't even give me that?
Ted, this is not about you getting points.
I totally agree.
This is about us finding out what should be or should not be the behavior of these soldiers that were involved in this operation. I personally agree with General Shaw. I think they should all just shut up. I think that it's beginning to be a little embarrassing. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I admired these guys, and I still do. I admired them not just for the unbelievable danger of what it was that they went through and completed their mission successfully. I admired them for a kind of the military stoicism that we expect from these guys.
What are you talking about? What does that mean?
It means stoic, as in they keep their mouths shut and they do the job, and they're not like the rest of us. They're not looking for publicity. They're not
Exactly, and I think seeing them thirsting for publicity like hogs at the trough, I think is very, very wrong.
All right, so why doesn't someone say they're going to take a dump on them? Why can't you say that?
Why is that important?
Because that's what the military... Mr. Val, this is General Shaw again. Will you give me that I'm a former military man?
Former? Yes, you're a former military man. You made the point of telling me you're a former military man.
Well, I don't think anything has changed since I've been in the military.
What difference does it make, Ted? We're not even talking about that.
Now I'm going to tell you to shut up, okay?
I'm the only one that tells people to shut up around here.
Well, would you mind telling her to shut up? Because I'm trying to talk.
You know, Phil, thank you very much.
Okay, so we've just had one person hang up.
Good. That's great. I'm glad. Go ahead, General Shaw. You have the floor.
Well, I'll tell you this, Mr. Bell. I don't tell anyone I'm going to take a giant dump on them. I don't say standing tall before the band.
Did he hang up too?
I think he did, yeah.
Well, play the commercial. I want out of this. I want out. I want out. I want out now.
Well, we don't have time for the commercial. Is he?
Yeah, he hung up.
All right. I want out and I want out now. Thank you, Ted, for sponsoring that first hour of the world famous Phil Henry Show. Coming back with more on what was said by SEAL Team 6 in a more specific way. Also, Charlie Sheen and Lindsay Lohan sharing a scene in anger management. And apparently an actor in Downton Abbey posed Phil topless, Henry. And now she regrets it because I have those pictures. Margaret Gray is back. Are you all right?
Yeah.
And you're huffing and puffing.
I just got back from we had a round table on Kim Kardashian. I'll tell you all about it.
So Margaret is out talking about Kim Kardashian and her pregnancy?
I'll tell you in a minute.
All right.
Well, Mr. Henry wants to know.
I'll tell him in a minute, not you.
Take it easy. Welcome back to the show, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And by the way, I'd like to thank my guest hosts over the last few nights, Jay Santos. We had Rudy Canoza. We had Bobby Dooley. Thank you, Bobby, for filling in. Bobby Dooley is a new podcast to be dropping on Friday with Kevin Pollak, the great multi-talented actor and stand-up comic and poker player. And Kevin Pollak will be Bobby Dooley's special guest on the Bobby Dooley podcast, a new one dropping on Friday. Future guests include Craig Bierko, great actor from such films as Scary Movie 4, Cinderella Man.
Craig Bierko as Max Baer in Cinderella Man. Outstanding.
Yeah. And Sex and the City and Boston Legal. He's done a lot of stuff. He will be with Bobby a week from Friday. We've got John Ratzenberger, Jane Wells from CNBC. Also lined up for Bobby's podcast. So check it out on iTunes or SoundCloud, the Bobby Dooley podcast, and check out the Phil Henry Show podcast. It is an archival offering. We have, we got 330,000, we're on a tear right now for 330,000 downloads by the end of this month. And,
well, that should start meaning some very serious money.
We got a ways to go, you know, but Adam Carolla's, I think he's doing a million or so. I don't know how many, he's over a million downloads a month. And, but yeah, we definitely are making some inroads there. So enjoy our podcast. And also we encourage you to get a BSP, Backstage Pass. You just go to philhenryshow.com. You click on the banners, and we have a series of sliding banners on our homepage, and all of them address different aspects of our website, from our webisodes to the Milwaukee Lions to our archives to getting a backstage pass. So click on that and sign up for BSP. It's only $9.99 a month, and you get over 5,000 hours of audio, including shows that go back over a decade, adding to it all the time. We're going to be adding a WIOD section very, very soon. You heard me right. We will have WIOD audio in our archives as well from Miami. So join us for that. All right, Margaret, you have just come back from a round table.
Well, we thought this was going to be, Phil, a press conference that was going to involve Kim Kardashian. It did not. What I do know is this. Kim Kardashian has been seen in some publications over the last couple of weeks, and it is not, and let me underline, it has not been pretty. Now, I'm not on the program tonight to, I'm not here to criticize or mock or make fun of this poor girl's physical condition. She's pregnant. The problem is this. When you have the body type that Kim Kardashian has, and then you get pregnant, and the body becomes even larger than it is now, you've got some problems.
Yo, how that's on the butt?
And I'm not... Oh, God.
Would you be quiet, Bud, until she's finished?
I'm not done yet. Let me read something that I have written. Baby bump fashion flops and rumored pregnancy weight gain were the hot topics, okay, of the moment when OMG Insider correspondent Yo Show Michael Yo sat down with reality royalty Kim Kardashian at the junket for upcoming film Tyler Perry. Now, hold on. Listen to this. Kim addressed the headline. Okay, it says I'm like, boo, okay.
What's she saying?
Would you hold on, please?
Wait, Margaret, get to the point.
I'm getting to the point. Okay, the weight gain rumors weren't the only thing. She set the record straight. She also said clear. Do.
Can I see this for a minute?
Don't grab that from my hand.
Can't understand what you're saying.
You didn't understand that.
No, I didn't understand that. You're going boop, boop, boop.
Let me see that again. Would you please listen?
We're listening. We're waiting for the news.
Well, I'm giving you the news.
No, you're not. You're going boop, 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 boop.
What?
That's exactly what you did, Miss Gray. You're going boo, 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 boo.
If you gentlemen will... You know, this is baby pregnancy, baby bump news. You know that, right, Phil? The baby bump news?
Yeah, baby bump. I don't like that term.
Well, what are you, racist?
Got nothing to do with racism about speaking English.
Well, why don't... Do you like baby bump?
I don't like the phrase, no. Nobody likes to talk like a dumbass. Why you want to do that?
Did you tell him to shut up?
All right, just...
Listen, baby bump, fashion flops, rumored pregnancy, weight gain were the hot topics of the day, were the order of the day when the insider correspondent Yo Show host Michael Yo sat down with reality royalty Kim Kardashian, the junket for upcoming film. I really like that. Reality royalty. That was mine.
It's very good. It's very good.
All right, hold on. The upcoming film, Tyler Perry's Temptation. Now, when you hear that title, you think, what? Softcore. You got it. And I thought, oh, my God. Oh, my living God. Please, God, don't make it. And I felt myself almost dropping to my knees, like the Haitian women do in the Notre Dame Cathedral. Have you ever been to the Notre Dame, Phil?
Yes, I have.
All right. Have you seen the Haitian women, the women of the islands, the women that are Catholic, but come from the Carib tradition? Have you seen them there?
I have, yes.
All right, then you see them kneeling on the hard, cold brick. This is their way of penance. This is as penitenza, all right, how they go before God.
All right, Margaret, that's fine. What has this got to do with Kim Kardashian?
What I'm saying is, when I heard the title of the film, Tyler, what's his name?
Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry's Temptation. I thought, God, please don't let it be. God, please don't let it be. And I remember I felt tears welling in my eyes.
About what? What are you talking about?
Hold on. I dropped to my knees. There was hard, cold brick. It was out in front of Le Grand, the restaurant. We were having lunch. And it was not the Notre Dame. It was actually a place where you get salads. But it was hard brick. I dropped to my knees, and I said a fervent, frightened prayer. God, don't let it happen.
Don't let what happen?
What?
What are you talking about?
Oh, well, here's what Here's what I thought. My God, with a title like that, Kim Kardashian, is it porn?
Oh,
don't, what do you mean, oh,
and here we thought it's going to be a big news deal.
Well, wait a minute. What do the three of you idiots know about it?
Oh, come on, will you? Tyler Perry, the guy is a big-time producer. He's not going to do...
porn.
Well, I'll have you know that when you have a film that's titled that way, Tyler Perry's Temptation, what do you think is going to happen?
I think that it's going to be some romantic, maybe even sexy movie, but it ain't got nothing to do with hardcore. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, Phil, if you've got Kim Kardashian in a movie and it's a porn movie, you better believe it'll be hardcore. I don't know a director out there that wouldn't want some real close-ups on that.
All right, so Tyler Perry's Temptation. Let me see this. Kim addressed the headlines head-on. It says that I'm like 200 pounds on there. She's talking about this article, right?
Yes, here, I'll do it. Kim addressed, it says I'm like 200 pounds on there. That's like definitely a good 60 pounds off. Does that mean you're 260, Kim?
That's pretty good.
Funny.
Well, it could mean that. She laughed. She also poked fun at her very changed pregnancy diet. Well, I've got news for you. It's not 60 pounds off. I've seen Kim Kardashian. I've seen the pregnancy photos. She's 200 pounds. She might even be pushing over 200 pounds.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that butt is huge. Yeah, the butt got... The butt's the gauge for me.
The butt's the gauge. I haven't seen it.
Oh, she's huge.
No, she's not too... You're saying that she's... Yes, I'm saying that too. Yes,
yeah, you're agreeing with them.
Yes.
Well, I got to see these pictures. We'll see. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll see if we can come up with a Kim Kardashian pregnancy photo that everybody's been talking about, and I think was on the cover of Us Weekly, and you decide for yourself whether, in point of fact, she is 200 pounds. Bobby Dooley calling in just a moment to talk to us about her upcoming podcast this week with Kevin Pollak. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth right, is our bitch.
I just think if you the look Phil at the Henry size Show. Of the ass, your ass tells on.
Yeah, wouldn't bring it an ad. What about... And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we look at... this is a picture here, if you'll notice, of Kim Kardashian on the cover of Us Magazine. And if you look over there on camera three there...
Yes, all right, that's not the picture. And I'll tell you something right now. They've scrubbed the photos.
Yeah, they probably got rid of all the photos on the large and summer.
Yeah, they've scrubbed... I think they've gone in. That photograph is almost... it almost looks... normal. In other words, that's her normal size.
No, that's not her normal size.
Yes, it... Are you kidding me?
No, she looks big there.
Well, yes and no. You gotta see a profile. You gotta see how the butt extends.
I would agree with that. I'll go with that, you know.
Oh, you'll go with that?
Yeah, I'll go with him. You gotta see the butt extension.
Will you grow up? You can look at the butt extension. You can look at that woman's form there, and you can see that she's obviously pregnant. Now, what picture were you talking about?
The picture that I'm talking about, Phil, is one where she's wearing white. It's a short skirt. There is, as Bud would say, a butt extension, and she is gargantuan. She is absolutely just... It reminds me of Yaphet Kotto in Alien when he said... It was huge. It was huge. And we didn't know, none of us knew at that time when Yaphet Kotto said that. We didn't know that 30 years hence, we'd be talking about a woman's...
ass.
Bud, I wish they'd bring torture back just...
All right, take it easy, will ya?
I'm trying to...
But talk about ass.
I may be talking about ass, as you put it.
Margaret, you're knocking Bud, and you're sitting there saying when Yaphet Kotto said so many years ago...
Yes, I was being a journalist, and I was using poetic affectation. It's called writing. Thank you.
But it's great, don't get angry.
Well, I am angry.
Yeah, look it. When you say Yaphet Kotto in the movie Alien was talking about how huge Alien was, little did we know 32 years later we'd be talking about Kim Kardashian's ass, and you're saying it with a straight face. That's what worries me.
I said it with a straight face, but I didn't say ass, did I? He did.
Well, what were you going to say?
Thank you.
Shut up, bud.
I don't say anything.
When Yaphet Kotto uttered those immortal words in Alien, when he said, you should have seen this thing, it's huge. It echoes down through time, yes it does, to a day, an age, a different time. We're different people, it's a different country. And now we're talking about Kim Kardashian's, I won't say ass, I'll say rump. What are you smiling at?
I'm smiling. It's funny.
No, it is not funny. Yaphet Kotto was talking about something that was deadly. Kim Kardashian's rump is deadly to a...
Is deadly to the human race?
No, to her career.
Well, then it's not the same thing.
I wish the three of you were tortured to death.
Where are you going? Oh, the bathroom?
Yes.
That...
You know, that's a hell of a thing to say because we don't... You know,
because you're not smart?
No, because of the fact that you want to make some comparison between Kim Kardashian's ass and the alien.
I did not say ass.
No, you said a classy thing. You said rump. And we don't get it, or we don't approve of it, or we don't seem to think it's all that poetic, and you hope that we get tortured to death.
Yes, I do. There's one thing that I regret. Zarqawi was an animal. He beheaded a man on videotape. And I don't like, but I wish he was around to do that to you three.
You saw that tape, Mr. Hendry.
Yes, I did. That's a hell of a thing to say, Margaret.
Well, I stand by my reporting.
Oh, well, okay. Margaret Gray, she stands by her reporting that if Zarqawi was alive, me, Bud, and Robert should have our heads sawed off the way that other guy did because we don't think that her comparing Kim Kardashian's ass, oh, excuse me, rump, to the alien.
Yes, go ahead.
You're in the toilet right now. I'll talk to you when you get out. Nonetheless, Kim Kardashian addressed these rumors, and she said it is a load of old manure. She said she's not 200 pounds. What's funny is she says, I love my junk food, and I love fast food. I love sweets, like, you know, we didn't know that. And I'm not knocking your size, Ms. Kardashian, because I also know that you work out. And I'm one of those guys, you know, I tell a woman, please, don't, what are you dieting for? You know, why don't lose that fat. I remember I said that to a woman once, and she thought I was mentally diseased.
She liked it?
Yes, she liked it. Hell yeah. But that's me. That's what makes me weird. I'm the opposite of Ted Bell. She says I haven't been able to eat any of that since I've been pregnant. I'm craving like carrots and celery with ranch. Now, I don't know whether she's telling the truth about craving celery with ranch dressing or what that is. On the line is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and actually from her home there in Western Estates, the Magnolia Phase. Congratulations, Bobby, on the podcast, doing so well, and you had Craig Bierko in studio today, huh?
We did, Phil. We had Craig Bierko. He is going to be featured in a couple of weeks, I think, when our podcast drops on Friday. He was just wonderful. He's very intelligent. He's very funny. We had a great many stories to share. He brought his dog, Boo, in, and he also told us how we can get a dog to go on an airplane, and they have to let you take the dog on the airplane, too. And
he told you this?
Yes, he did.
Well, I'd love to know that. How do you do that?
You have to have something wrong with you, and it's a service dog.
Well, does he have something wrong with him?
No, he doesn't. But he filled out the application, and if you look at Craig, and I know him now because I interviewed him for the Bobby Dooley podcast, so I do know him.
We heard you the first time.
Oh, are you done with the bathroom?
Yes, I'm done with the bathroom.
Oh, okay. I know Craig Bierko. Bierko, excuse me.
No, it's Bierko.
Wait, really? Why is it he told me it was Bierko?
Oh, you were already just stumbling over yourself to get that out, weren't you?
Well, that's what he told me.
All right, let's not argue, because I want to hear some of this information. So, I want to know how it is that Mr. Bierko said he's able to get his dog on an airplane.
The way you do it is... You fill out a form, and you tell them, you just answer the form questions.
Oh, and it's a service dog?
Well, that's what I heard him say when he brought the dog into our building over there on the west side. Craig was bringing Boo, and Boo's a beautiful little dog.
Are you allowed to call it by its name like that, Boo?
What do you mean?
Well, you're talking about him like, oh, and Boo and me and Craig.
Well, you know something, Margaret? I know him. Okay, unlike you knowing Kim Kardashian, which you don't.
And how do you know that?
Because you're all, you know...
I'm all what? See? Gotcha. Gotcha.
I don't care.
Gotcha.
Hold on, Margaret. I want to finish the story, if you don't mind.
Thank you, Phil.
Don't say thank you. Never mind.
Do you mind?
Thank you, Phil.
What?
She's doing it on purpose. Would you tell her to stop?
Quit saying thank you, Phil, Bobby.
Okay, Phil. I'll do that. I'll thank you for telling me.
She just...
Just don't say it, and Margaret, butt out.
This has been so childish, I forgot where I am now.
You're talking, Margaret, you're talking about Craig Bierko and his dog.
Yes, so he brought Craig, brought Boo in.
What?
She's doing that on purpose.
You know something, you two...
Phil...
Hold on for a minute. You two ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
Oh, Daddy's gonna give a speech.
Here we go.
Yeah, that's right. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You act like a couple of 13-year-old girls.
He's doing it again. Would you tell him not to do that?
It's like I'm in a car and I got two kids sitting in the back seat. Now, would you just, and I'm going to say it because you deserve it, shut up, Margaret. Let her talk. I'll talk to you after she's done. And no, you can't get up and go to the bathroom all humiliated. Sit there and listen.
Fine.
Well, now we're on a break.
Does this part count?
Yes, it counts. You're going to have to sit here through the whole break.
Phil, I didn't do anything wrong.
I'm asking you to sit there, too. Sorry, folks. We'll be right back. You're watching and listening, if you're on Phil TV, to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with Bobby Dooley and her report on her podcast, and also Kim Kardashian when we come back.
Why do I have to sit here?
Because I told you to.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Be quiet.
Phil Hendry. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're scrolling through trying to find that one picture of Kim Kardashian. I just found it again, Kim Kardashian. And this is the one, the closest I think we can come to this picture that you were referring to, Margaret, that you said made her look like a quote-unquote Titanic.
Yes, this is the shot here. Now, this is not, this is much more flattering than the shot that I did originally see. However, look at the pencil skirt she's wearing. She is gargantuan in every sense. The ankles, way too thick. The everything. And now I know that women get pregnant. But what you don't want to do is put on yoga pants when you're pregnant so that your arse end becomes in and of itself an issue in terms of just maneuvering through a crowd, let's say, or what have you. In some of the pictures I've seen, things are more tasteful, but... this is really scary, and it's going to get scarier.
All right, now we allowed Margaret to have her say there, Bobby, so we could get back to you. And you're going to give us some perspective as well on the podcast, correct?
That's correct, Phil. But I also want to weigh in on Kim Kardashian, because I think that there's a lot more that needs to be said there.
Yeah, well, excuse me, but I'm the one that does the...
I want Bobby to do some... commenting, too.
Oh, my God.
What's the big deal?
I'm the one that reports on the...
I want Bobby, you know... Did you hear what I said earlier?
Yes, I...
What a baby.
You're the baby. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Go ahead, Bobby.
Thank you, Phil. First of all, we are going to have another podcast on Friday with the great Kevin Pollak. I have always enjoyed his acting. Kevin Pollak is constantly doing new and fresh things, and of course, we all know him from films like The Usual Suspects and Avalon and A Few Good Men, and he has a wonderful stand-up comedy routine. He does Christopher Walken impressions that are... Excuse me.
By my life belt.
We're not on tape. We're live.
Well, that's... Okay. So we're live.
Yeah.
So I belched live.
No one heard it.
No one heard it.
Excuse me, Margaret. Nobody heard it.
Well, she did.
Okay. So she heard it.
So I belched and she heard it.
You belched and she heard it, yeah.
Well, you don't seem to be concerned.
No, I want to get through this report, if you don't mind.
Concerned about what? She belched.
I understand, Mr. Dooley, and I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to her.
God.
All right. So anyway, so Kevin Pollak will be my guest on Friday for our Bobby Dooley, Bobby Dooley podcast. And then we have coming up Jane Wells of CNBC, who I love her. I think it's time we have another gal on. We had Patricia Arquette. She was charming. And, of course, a lot of fun. And I think Jane Wells from CNBC, who does a lot of really fun reporting over there. And we'll try and find out what's happening in the markets with Jane Wells. Then we have one of the great iconic actors, I think, in American television with his character Cliff from Cheers, and that's John Ratzenberger, is going to be coming up as well.
Now, you said you had Kathy Valentine, maybe?
We do not, but Kathy said that when she's in L.A.,
who is Kathy Valentine, excuse me?
Oh, my God.
You don't know Kathy Valentine.
She's the bass player with the Go-Go's.
Well, what?
Don't worry about it, Margaret. If you hadn't started talking, we wouldn't have to explain to you.
I'm talking about Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, Kathy Valentine's important to a younger generation.
Woo! Oh, you really want $300 worth, don't you?
You know something? Yeah, and when I get somewhere where you're near, we can talk about that.
You know that dumpster behind the Sit and Sleep on Ventura Boulevard? It's...
All right, I'm going to start firing people.
You can't fire me. I have a podcast.
I don't care. I'll fire you, and I'll give that podcast, not to you, Margaret, I'll give it to somebody else. I'll give it to Bud.
You wouldn't dare.
Yes, I would.
In any event, that will be coming up in a couple of weeks. Now, as far as Kim Kardashian goes, I've got a couple of things I'd like to say. I think Kim Kardashian has not considered one eventuality. This is not a might happen. This is a will happen. And I don't think she's thinking about it. She's going to be embarrassed as she gets older and she gets fatter, and she will, because she'll have more children. And Kanye is later and later at the club, if it lasts years. And in my opinion, it will last maybe 2-3 years, but she'll still be a beast. And she'll be at home with 2 children, really, really huge. And Kanye West is at the club with a small, thin, Asian. Take your pick.
A man?
Maybe. Maybe not. You know, as we move forward, it's going to be less of a stigmata.
A man. You're saying that Kanye West will be with a thin Asian man.
I'm saying the stigmata...
By the way, that's not a stigmata. Stigmata is something that happened... Stigmata happens to saints. You're talking about a stigma?
What's a stigmata?
That's when the saints would bleed from the hands, when some people, religious people, would bleed from the hands like Jesus.
What's a stigma?
That's the word you want, stigma.
How did I use it?
Oh, my God, don't you remember what you're saying?
Hold on for a minute. How did you use the stigma? That you say that being gay will not have the stigma that it has now.
Yes, that's what I mean. So I predict that... as Kim Kardashian gets older and bigger, and she'll have 1 or 2 maybe more children, maybe not, maybe just 1 more, or maybe she won't have any more. Maybe the marriage only lasts another, I don't know, year. But the fact is she will get bigger. There's no reversing the trend now. She sort of kicked out the jams a little bit. And by getting pregnant, she's going to put on more weight and more weight, more weight and more weight, and more and more and more and more and more. So that a year from now, she'll be bigger and bigger and bigger, huger and huger and huger. And Kanye West will be at a club with a thin, waif-like, very pretty Asian. And I didn't say, is it a girl or a boy? I'll leave that to your imagination. I'm Bobby Dooley. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of the week. And join me, won't you, this coming Friday when a new edition of the Bobby Dooley Podcast drops. In the meantime, please go over and download part two of our interview with the very fun Jay Moore.
Jay Moore is Bobby's featured guest all this week. Part two of the Bobby Dooley Podcast. All right, Bobby, thank you.
Thank you.
So what do you think of that?
I'm supposed to comment on that? She's not even a reporter.
Well, I think it's very intriguing that that she says Kim Kardashian's going to get bigger and bigger, huger and huger.
Yes, I heard her. Larger and larger, huger and huger and huger.
She said it's going to get larger and larger, huger and huger. Yeah.
Oh, he did not. Will you knock it off?
He?
I mean she. Go ahead, Margaret.
Well, first of all, I think that it goes without saying she's going to get bigger because she tends to be big. Is she going to be so huge we should just call her Larry Kardashian? Okay. Is that what...
I don't get it.
You don't remember Larry?
Oh, Larry from that fat show.
Yes, Larry from the fat show. Here's a hint. 4 fried sausages, 7 fried...
Oh, yeah, that guy. Oh, that guy had oxygen.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. And I think that Bobby's not too far off when she says... Excuse me. We're going to see Kim Kardashian with those plastic oxygen tubes coming out of her nose as she sits, breathing from the mouth, with 2 children in her lap, and Kanye West at the nightclub with a thin, young Asian boy.
You know, you guys know how to paint a really bizarre picture.
Why do you say that?
Well, first of all, that Kim Kardashian will have oxygen coming out of her nose with the plastic tubes, are you kidding? I mean, maybe this woman is more health conscious than you give her credit for. But the fact of the matter is...
Oh, God, I'm yawning.
You're that bored with your own show.
No, I'll tell you why. Because I had a really bad case of insomnia last night. I had to get up and go in and accompany Bobby for the podcast. I almost fell asleep driving home today, okay?
Well, you shouldn't be in the car.
Yeah, Miss Gary, what are you driving for?
Let's see. Why was I driving? Do you know any other way of getting to the West Side?
Take a train.
Take a train? Take a train?
Well, yes, the train goes from Channel Islands, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know where it's going to let out on the West Side, man. I got to go all the way downtown? No, it ain't going to happen, man. Ain't going to happen. Yeah, thank you very much. You know, if they ran the train this far up, the Metro Rail ran the train this far up, but they don't. In fact, they don't run the train into the valley at all. It's the stupidest, bloody, dumb thing that's ever been created in all of the bloody, dumb things that the city of Los Angeles has ever created. I know. Let's put a spur out to the San Gabriel Valley. That sounds great. But anything to the valley where there's like millions? No, we won't do that. In any event, I was beat when I got up this morning. And when I say I got up this morning at 5 a.m., and I headed in... And was with Bobby when she did her thing, and then got in the car, started driving home, and I'm telling you, it was bad, man. I mean, it was bad.
Well, why didn't you stop at a rest stop?
Oh, a rest stop? Let me ask you something. When you're on the west side of Los Angeles, a lot of you guys are living in cities, you know what I'm talking about. When I'm on the west side of L.A., where's the rest stop?
That's a good point.
You know, I'm not going to pull, you know, you're in 4:05 traffic in the afternoon. I am dead tired. I'm falling asleep in the car. And I'm thinking, I got to get a hotel. I was literally thinking about getting a hotel. I live 50 minutes away, maybe an hour away. But the traffic was so lousy and I was so bloody tired. I actually thought about getting a hotel overnight on the west side and getting, sleeping up and then driving into the studio and then just going back there and spending the rest of the night. But I pressed on. I got through the west side. I got up to the 101. I started driving through the valley, and I literally was talking to myself. I was yelling at myself.
Why didn't you stop at a rest stop?
Margaret, are you listening to me? Where am I going to find a rest stop?
Yeah, you get up down to Calabasas area.
By that point, man, I was... So what I did do is I stopped and got something to eat, because that was a lot of the problem was blood sugar. I don't want to stop, man. I want to keep going. There's 2 kinds of people. There's people that are smart, and then there's me. Okay? And I'm the kind of guy that I just keep on pressing, keep on going. And by the time I got out past, Thousand Oaks and all that, I was yelling at myself in the car, and I made it home. And then I just collapsed. I've never been that tired in the middle of the day in my life. It was scary, man. I thought I was going to puke, too.
Puke?
Yeah.
Puke. That's how weird. I was so tired. I was sick. And it was the coffee. There was something with the coffee this morning. Did you make that coffee, bud?
Yeah, I made it just the way you like it. With a Turkish coffee and everything, and put in a carb. Uh-oh.
What?
You know what he did? He put in celery salt instead of cardamom.
Celery salt. Celery salt.
You OD'd on sodium.
I could have freaking... I poisoned myself, basically.
Yeah, well, it's just like cardamom.
Yeah, except for one thing, bud.
What?
It says cardamom on the side, and celery salt says celery salt on the side. So that's how you know the difference, see?
Well, I mean, other than that.
Yeah, other than that, of course. You know.
Hey, man. Well, other than that, rat poison probably looks just like bird seed. Other than that.
Well.
No. Start looking at the labels on things. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Join us online. And coming up, we've got Harvey Wireman and Jeff Dowder to be joining us online as guests. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Dan and I are talking about, you know, Dan was a truck driver, you know.
Dan Northcraft, yes.
Yeah, he was a truck driver, so he's had his fair share of stories about, you know, falling asleep at the wheel is deadly, and people have died that way. I know people that have awakened. They have awakened because they heard their car slamming into the center divider.
You're kidding.
No, they wake up to seeing sparks flying as their car is scraping along the center divider. You don't want to wake up like that. And the most famous story of a guy, the most famous story I know of a guy falling asleep at the wheel is the story of that screenwriter that I've never tired of telling the story.
Yeah, tell him, Joe. I forget how that goes.
Well, it's...
I know it.
Hold on. Can I tell it?
Well, it's about the guy...
Can I tell it? Basically, the guy was a screenwriter who had been in New Mexico. He called his wife. I forget the gentleman's name. I will find it. I apologize. But he called his wife. I don't know. He called his wife sometime around 1 o'clock in the morning. He was driving from New Mexico back to Los Angeles. It's a long drive, but it is not one that you cannot make and make in a single shot if you, you keep yourself alert. You've had enough sleep. You drive through the night, sure. I don't know how, what, maybe that's a 16-hour drive, something like that. I don't know. But what happened was he never got home. And he never got home, and he never got home for about 6 months. He never got home. There was all kinds of speculation as to what happened to this guy. And naturally, it all was having to do with the mafia.
Yeah, I said an alien got him.
Aliens, yeah, some alien. The funny story about that is even after they found out what had actually happened to him, there were people that didn't want to let go of the alien story. What is with people? You know, I guess people don't want to be wrong is mostly what I think it is. But in any event, he was working on a script about the mafia and they had him killed, you know. Why can't it just be that there was something weird that happened? It was like that poor woman who was the publicist who was shot and killed coming home from a party, and, they thought it was, this, that. She'd pissed somebody off. Some actor had her killed. Turned out it was a robbery. And it was a robbery committed by a guy on a bicycle who had pulled up next to the car, fired into the car, and left. And that was it. And I remember I was talking to friends of mine. They were saying, do you really believe that? I go, yeah. Yeah, I do. Why? I said, because that kind of weird stuff happens, man. It happens. It's as likely, if not more so, than her being killed by... Just because you're a Hollywood celebrity publicist doesn't necessarily mean that if you get shot and killed, it has to be by some disgruntled actor. It has to be by some disgruntled producer. It had to have something to do with your... No, it didn't have to have anything to do with what she did for a living. The poor woman was just victimized by some crazy stick-up guy on a bicycle. And it sounds weird. But frankly, I don't think that's as far-fetched as a disgruntled actor had her killed.
Well, why do you say that?
Because people get shot and killed while being robbed all the time in this country. Why is it not so with someone like that? Why did it have to be a disgruntled actor or producer?
Well, it was a weird place where it took place. It was on Sunset, you know.
Yeah, it was on Sunset. So this guy rode up on a bicycle, you know, and she looked, and apparently he fired.
And the shot, the man, the police investigated, they said the shots were absolutely perfect.
Well, it's not too far from where the, he was sitting right next to her.
He's firing through glass.
He's firing through glass. I still say it's pretty hard to miss somebody from that distance. And besides, you know, they had the guy had all kinds of circumstantial evidence that tied this dude to her. And eventually, I think they found the gun. The ballistics matched on the gun, which is ultimately what did it. So you got to, what you got to do is you got to take a look at a situation like that and say, not why it couldn't have happened. You have to accept that it happened because, as I say, the physical evidence says that it did, and begin to take another look at your reality and say, well, gee, I guess that stuff happens, you know? So what happened, getting back to the guy that was driving all night, and he called his wife at 2 a.m., and he said, honey, I'm on my way, and, you know, I should be there. I think he said, you know, sometime later on this evening. She said, okay, you know, drive carefully. Yeah, I will. And that was that. That's the last time she talked to her husband. Now the days go by, he's missing. Car's gone. He's gone. And I don't know how much time elapsed. I want to say maybe even, you know, over a year. She had no idea. Until finally, as I've said, this man's body and car were found in the California Aqueduct. And the man who found it was a newspaper reader. He wasn't a writer. He wasn't a cop. He was just a guy that was reading the article in a paper in San Diego and on his own accord got into his car and drove the route that this guy had been driving to see, well, where, you know.
Your kid, I didn't hear this part.
Yeah. And he drove back toward, you know, New Mexico, then turned around and sort of retraced this guy's steps. And he came to a section of the aqueduct, a bridge over the California Aqueduct, which is where this water is transported from Owens Lake down to Los Angeles, and saw a torn chain link fence. And he looked down the aqueduct, and he saw the rooftop of an SUV sitting just above the waterline, and that was that guy's car. He'd fallen asleep at the wheel.
Well, they don't know that.
Yes, they do know that, because they found the guy's body and he hadn't been shot. He had fallen asleep at the wheel, and the thing went off the road, sailed into the aqueduct, middle of the night, nobody saw it happen, and the poor man was missing. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
That's got to be some full path. You're believing that?
Of course I believe it. That's what happened.
You don't think it was an alien.
Hey, bud, they found this. How's that an alien?
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico.
Welcome back here, final hour of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So anyway, make a long story short, I know that we're... We got little Ian Anderson hanging on the line from... Where is he, anyway?
He's up in Oakland.
Oakland?
Yeah, that's where they're racing.
All right, we'll put him on hold for just a moment because we want to talk... I just want to wrap up the whole story I was telling and let everybody know. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And our backstage pass is the subscription to our website, for those of you who don't know. And our website provides not just a live video cast, which also obviously includes audio of our radio show. It is either live or on demand, depending upon how you want to use it. We are also now providing streaming for iPhone and iPad and a great many droids. We are fully mobile, in other words. The live video cast is mobile, as well as our on-demand features. So we encourage you to take advantage of that. We also have a huge archive of material going back over a decade, close to 5,000 hours of full radio shows from which we do pull our podcasts. And those podcasts, by the way, are about to become limited. By that I mean we are going to draw them back a little bit and make them primarily available to our subscribers. What we will make available to non-subscribers will be a smaller version of that. But we do encourage you to subscribe to our website so you can get those daily podcasts as a subscriber. And our Bobby Dooley, I think, will remain a free feature for the time being. But you know how that goes.
So in other words, you're just, look, God, you're looking to really stick it to people, aren't you?
Stick it to people?
Yeah, yeah. What does that mean?
Well, I mean,
let me ask you a question, Margaret. Last I checked, do the Dodgers charge money to see a game?
Well, Phil...
No. Do the Dodgers charge money to see a game?
Yes, they do.
Okay. Does anybody say they're sticking it to people?
Yeah, when they stink.
Okay, when they stink. But guess what? That's a decision people can make. Some people may not want to buy a ticket to a Dodger game or a Yankee game or a Cardinal game or a Cub game. They may not want to do that because they, quote, in your words, bud, stink. However, some people do. Some people do buy tickets to those games and to those teams, even though they do stink. Maybe they don't think they stink. Maybe for those people who buy those tickets, it's worth it. You see, that's what I mean. It's an individual decision. On our website, it is a subscription. So you can actually watch the video cast. You can get the archives, all this other stuff. And it's a decision that you make. And you don't have to make it. You can do whatever else you want to do. And that's cool, you know. But if you do make that decision and you join us as a subscriber, we're very, very happy to have people. It's as simple as that. I'm not, you know, bud. So don't get all, you know, weirded out.
Well.
Anyway, so please do join us at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass, a BSP. Some people call it backseeing Phil. Whatever you'd like to, you know, call that, you may. All right, little Ian Anderson is joining us from Oakland, California, where I guess they're getting ready for a meet this week up there at Bay Meadows. And Ian, I wanted to have you on not to talk about horse racing so much as I wanted to talk about football or soccer. And my primary question is this, Ian. Are you there?
Right.
Okay. My primary question is the difference. I've been watching this British, what they call the Barclays Premier League, which is the Premier League. That's the major league of soccer in Britain. And for people's information, it is the single most watched of all the professional leagues in the world, is that right?
Right. Well, the Barclays Premier League is like that's the name of the sponsor, right?
Yeah, Barclays, the beer.
Right. As a sponsor, and at one time it was called, I think it was called something else. It was like Carling Premier League was what it was called.
Carling is also a beer.
Right. It was lager or Carling or Barclays. Oh, no, Barclays is not a lager, it's a bank.
Barclays Bank, okay.
Yeah, Barclays is a bank, and Carling was a lager. But it's called Premier League, which is, as you said, it's the major league.
Okay, so to win the Premier League, do they have playoffs? How does that work?
No, it's got no playoffs in the Premier League. The Premier League is 20 teams, and they all play all these games. They play... 36 games, right?
They play 36 games,
right? And they compete, and the team that's in the first place, the team with the most points, you get 3 points for a win, you get 1 point for a draw, and
3 points for a win and 1 point for a draw.
That's correct. And the team right now is Manchester United is the best team in the Premier League right now.
And that looks like Manchester United has won, haven't they?
Right, well, they're 14 points ahead of the second-place team, which is Manchester City. So they've got Manchester United, and Manchester City is the second-place team, and they have won the Premier League last year. Well, it's not going to win the Premier League this year, though. It's going to be Manchester United. And they've won most of the Premier League championships, I think, since they started the Premier League.
When did they start the Premier League?
Premier League was started in 1992, and before that, it was called Division 1 of the Football League. So Division One out of Football League was all the premier league teams. These were the best teams in all of English football. And they broke away for the television money like that.
All right, so they broke away for economic reasons.
Right, right.
Okay, so since there's no playoffs in the Premier League, and so it's just the team with the most points wins.
That's right.
Okay, so what is the FA Cup?
Right, okay, so right, the FA Cup is a championship of all of English football. It's like it's not just the Premier League championship, it's a championship of all of English football. That means that it's like all the teams compete, no matter what division you're in, you can compete for the FA Cup. And that means that like even four divisions or three or five divisions down, you can compete with a Premier League team. That's why like you'll see Nottingham Forest, or you see Blackburn Rovers, or you see Crystal Palace, or something like that. You know, competing against Manchester United, or Manchester City, or Chelsea, or Swansea, or Everton, or Liverpool. See?
Ben, what you mean, Premier League's the champion of what?
Premier League, it's like I said, bloke, it's the champion of Premier League.
Right, well then what's the championship of English football's better?
It's the championship of English football, it's all the teams. It's not just the Premier League.
All right, but I think what Bud's asking is, if you are the winner of the Premier League, aren't you really the best soccer team in the country?
Well, it's not really, because...
Why not? If you win a Premier League, it's called Premier.
Well, you won't let me finish, because I've actually been to a soccer game, and you haven't been to a soccer game as far as I know, because if you have been to a soccer game, you at least know a little bit about what you're talking about.
I'm not going to go to a soccer game, because it's boring.
Right, well, I bet you a soccer watch you, they think you were boring, too. You know.
All right, hold on for a minute, will you guys? I want to talk to Ian. I don't want to talk to you. You don't know anything about it.
Neither does he.
I know a damn sight better than you do. It's like I've been to a soccer game. You've been to a soccer game?
What? Like I said, I'm not going to go on it.
Just shut up, bud. All right, so what I'm trying to find out here, Ian, is what's the difference? You got the FA Cup.
Right, what I'm trying to say is FA Cup is all the teams in all of English football, right? And they compete. Up to 10, I think it's like the top 10 divisions.
All right, the top 10 divisions. So there's Premier League, then there's Football Championship. Am I right about that?
That's right, Football Championship, or the Championship League is the number 2 league. That's a division below Premier League. And then there's League 1.
League 1.
And then there's League 2.
League 2.
Right. And then below that, there's other divisions. And what they do is they schedule games between all the teams in all these divisions that what have qualified to play in the FA Cup, and they have all these games.
Now, who won the FA Cup last year?
Chelsea won the FA Cup last year, and I forget who won the year before. It was Chelsea.
And who did Chelsea play?
I forget. I think they played Swansea.
And those are both Premier One. Or those are, I should say, Premier League teams, right?
That's right. Well, it's not right. Right, it's not really, you're not going to see a team that's not good to win the FA Cup. It's only going to be a Premier League team. But at least this gives all the other teams a chance, you know, to win.
That's ridiculous. All it does is sucker them in.
Right, well, the only sucker here is you, because you'd probably be the sucker to pay the money. If the sucker like you was going to pay the freight, it's a good thing we got the suckers like you.
Yeah, so you won't cheat people.
Only a stupid bloke like you would cheat.
All right, would you guys, you mind if I'm just asking these questions, okay?
I think it's a jip.
No, it's not a jip, but people love it. Of a jip to a bloke like you, because you don't understand anything about it anyway.
Yeah, well, it'd probably be a jip if you went and saw American football.
No, because I'd know what I'm looking at, wouldn't I? I'd know I'm looking at American football, and I know whether I like it or not. And not be some stupid bloke like you, sit there going, whoa, this sucker, I don't like this sucker, I got jipped. No one tells you go in and watch a game.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you're just saying that.
No, I'm not saying it. I'm saying it. I know it.
All right, look, so what I'm trying to find out here, Ian, is this. You got the championship of football is the FA Cup. The Premier League is the Premier League. Now, all of these teams qualify for other competitions, correct?
Well, right. Premier League, they qualify for the Champions League. And the Champions League is all Europe, all the championship teams in Europe. And then there's also Europa League. And Europa League is not all the teams that are second or third place teams, right? Europa League is not all that good. I'm not all that much a fan of Europa League, but I love a Champions League, I love a FA Cup, and the Premier League, you know.
Okay. Ian, thank you very much. And good racing season. What is it with you two guys, anyway?
That guy's an idiot.
Well, he thinks you're pretty stupid, and I'll tell you something else. When it comes to English soccer, I'm going to listen to him, not you, okay? If we ever start talking about baseball or football, American, like, with him, then you can be the guy.
Yeah, it's got to do.
Why, man? Why I have him on there? All right, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're online at philhendryshow.com. We got Jeff Dowder and Harvey Wireman coming up in just a moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I can't hear what he said. You didn't even know about it. Well, you sure don't know anything. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhendryshow.com. I was just looking at this ridiculous, I don't know what show this is, it's some drag racing show on Fox, and it's like a cross between drag racing and wrestling, because there's either the crew chiefs or the team owners or something are out there screaming and yelling at the crowd, and they have a microphone. You guys seen this?
No, I've seen it. They got some crazy shows, though.
But we're not going to talk about drag racing right now so much as we're going to be talking about Dancing with the Stars. And on the line with us from Temple City, California, is Jeff Dowder is going to be joining us. And we also have Harvey Wireman in Las Vegas right now joining us to talk a little bit about Dancing with the Stars. And the reason why I have you guys on is we want to revitalize the debate forum, the debate format that we had. Between the two of you, and we wanted to start with something that you are both, I think, Harvey, you had been invited to be on Dancing with the Stars, and Jeff, you have been vehemently opposed to Dancing with the Stars as a kind of a bourgeois commercial thing. So let me start with you, Harvey. Would you call yourself somebody who favors Dancing with the Stars?
I'm sorry, Phil. I didn't know we were going to be doing this at this hour because I've got some money over playing dice. You don't mind about that?
Well, if you wouldn't mind backing away from the game.
All right. Why don't you here? You hold these. You hold these. Those are yours. You go ahead and bet. Dancing with the Stars was the television show that I got invited on by Mel Bergantine, who is one of the associate producers. And he said to me, well, you know, we want to get, they had Buzz Aldrin, and they had some older people, and they say, you want to do a Dance with a Star? And I said, sure. And I said, who do I get to dance with? They said, well, you don't know. And I said, it was a professional. He said, yeah. I said, well, who is it? And they said, we don't know. But I said, well, is it who? I didn't understand. They said, well, you're the star.
Yeah, you'd be the celebrity.
All right, well, so that means I'm dancing with some girl who is no one, you know. And I thought I was going to be dancing with some famous piece of, I don't want to.
Well, I'm who?
Well, some famous dancer. I don't know who, but, you know, instead they said it's just going to be some dancer, you know. And I said, well, I'm not interested in that. I said to Mel, I said, I appreciate it, you know, very much so, but I'm not interested in that. I was interested in dancing with a piece of tape, you know, a famous woman, you know. And
well, who were you thinking of?
Well, I don't know. I was thinking, you know, the one that I wanted to take a crack at was that Nancy Grace, because she's got, she's big, you know, but it doesn't bother me at all, that was my idea. Or, you know, the other one they had there was that Alley.
Boy, you like those big chicks, don't you?
Look, Henry, I'm no different from you.
Excuse me, but that's a little on the large side for me. Size, I should say.
Oh, look at you. Boy, you... You're a real connoisseur, aren't you?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, a little bit different for you. Jeff Dowder is joining us here from Temple City. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm very good, thank you.
What is your take on Dancing with the Stars.
Well, as you indicated earlier, Mr. Henry, I think that all kidding aside, and Mr. You know, Wireman is all, you know, he's all talking about it and everything, but I think Dancing with the Stars is just another ridiculous, it's just ridiculous, you know. And,
yeah, but why is it ridiculous?
Hold on. He gets to say what he wants to say, and then you guys mix it up.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous because it's stupid, man. I mean, think about it. You know, if you think about it long enough, you'll see how stupid it is. Because, first of all, if just look at how stupid it is, you know, and to me, that's the worst part about it. Is just, you know, if you think about it. What's stupid about Jesus, Henry?
All right. He's making his case. You can't butt in.
I want to butt in. The guy hasn't said one thing.
That's when you get into the debate part.
Yeah, see, that's the debate part, and you're not even giving me a chance to say nothing.
But you are saying nothing. You're saying, I am giving him the chance to say nothing. You're saying nothing.
Well, I didn't hear you saying anything that's all that good other than the fact that you want to dance with some behemoth.
You know something? When's the debate part start?
It's not yet. Jeff, wrap up.
Yeah. So, yeah, in conclusion...
Oh, brother.
I would say that Dancing with the Stars is a... It's a bourgeois pursuit that is totally useless... Doesn't teach anybody anything. That, you know, like, I'm sure those people are actually going to go and dance like that. No, they're not. And it doesn't mean anything. Even if you knew how to dance like that, where are you going to go to dance like that? There's no clubs that will allow you to dance like that. You look like a jag-off, and they'll throw you out.
All right. So we basically have you two gentlemen. In the one case, Harvey, you enjoy Dancing with the Stars.
Can I just say one thing, please, Phil?
Go ahead.
Is this the same idiot that I talked to last year when we were talking about the death penalty?
Yeah, well, Mr. Henry, is this the same idiot? Okay, I can do that, too. Is this the same idiot, Mr. Henry?
Will you two guys just cool it? Now, Harvey, you and Jeff will now open up and go back and forth. On your beliefs pertaining to Dancing with the Stars. Yes, you two guys are the same ones that engaged each other last year on the death penalty. This year, I want to start off with some things that are a little bit lighter, if you don't mind. So, go ahead, gentlemen.
Here's a point I want to make.
Wait a second. He said for me to start off, then you can open your big fat mouth if that's what you want to do.
Well, I mean, you ain't said nothing.
Yes, I have, say. I'm going to say it. You show me where I can go dancing with something that I think is... If I want to dance with Nancy Grace, that's my prerogative, and that's my business. And you show me where I can go out for an evening of dining and dancing and drinks and relax with a woman like Nancy Grace... And I won't get run out of the club, you know, for having for sitting down with her.
Well, who's going to run you out of the club for having cocktails with Nancy Grace?
I'm just saying that the people, they'll probably say, oh, wow, you know, you're sitting there with that, she's big, you know.
Well, why would they throw you out?
I thought this was me and Daughter.
All right, well, hold on. We got to take another break. We'll be back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our debate segment between Harvey Wireman and Jeff Dowder on Dancing with the Stars, the relative merits of Dancing with the Stars. Dowder taking the con, Harvey Wireman taking the pro position. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
I also told, and another time I went to a dance place, there was a guy with one leg.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line is Jeff Dowder as well as Harvey Wireman, and we're talking about Dancing with the Stars, a debate as to its relative merits in Las Vegas. Is Harvey Wireman. Harvey, go ahead.
The point that I was trying to make to this young man, Mr. Dowder, is Where are you going? Those are my chips. I'm in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I should tell the audience, so Harvey has said, was playing dice.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you, Phil, and I do want to talk to you, but I got to tell this guy here, don't go anywhere with those chips. So the point that I'm making is that I don't know about Dancing with the Stars any more than I know about the stars themselves that are up in outer space, okay? That's how much I know about Dancing with the Stars. But I know a little something about stars that are the stars of Hollywood and television and all of that. And if I wanted to go on Dancing with the Stars and I dance with Nancy Grace, that's my business, see? That's nobody else's business but mine. And where else are you going to get that chance to dance with a nice big, you know, if that's what I want to do? Now, my wife died 7 years ago, and we had wonderful years. Dolores and I had wonderful years together. But now I'm at a point where I can do whatever the hell I want, when I want, and if I want to go out with some big chick like Nancy Grace, that's my business. See?
Well, I mean, yeah, okay, it's your business, and I would never, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm telling you that that is an idle bourgeois pursuit.
Why is that an idle pursuit? If I want to go out with a big woman like that.
Because first of all, you're depriving yourself. Because, first of all, what that show does, if it gives you the chance to non-embarrassingly go out with a huge woman where you would ordinarily be, more than bearably be, too embarrassed to do it, don't you think that that mitigates to the betterment of society? I do.
No, I don't see how that mitigates to the betterment of society. I think that mitigates to the worserment.
God, you're a lawyer, man?
Yeah, I'm a lawyer, man. I'm trying to debate, and I'm trying to keep my eyes on my money, and I'm trying to keep my eyes on this woman that I'm with who's not a Nancy Grace type. She weighs about this chick here. How much do you weigh, honey? About 100 pounds.
All right, see, that's the more acceptable size.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about right there, acceptable size. If I want to go out with a Nancy Grace or a Kirstie Alley, and I got a guy like you hanging around monitoring my every move, I'm not going to have any fun, okay?
Well, I mean, I think that it's necessary. When I said do the betterment of society, and you go to the worserment of society, and you're a lawyer, okay? Can you imagine that? You feature that. You're up there going all the worserment, and I'm saying I'm not a lawyer, so I do have the right, and I do have a lot of vital things to say about it.
I'm not saying you don't have vital things to say. I'm saying you got no business coming up to me and telling me that I can't be with a Nancy Grace if that's what I want to be.
Okay, so what you guys are getting down to here is
hold on, what? Give me a gimlet. Go ahead, Phil, I'm sorry.
So what you guys are talking about here is that in Doubter's case, Jeff's case, Dancing with the Stars is a trivial, ridiculous pursuit that only enhances an already dumbed-down society. And you, Harvey, believe that Dancing with the Stars is a fantastic pursuit because it gives the average man or woman the chance to dance and maybe even romantically hook up with a celebrity. Would that be correct?
Hook up with a celebrity, you know, romantically hook up with a celebrity, but also romantically hook up with a celebrity that's got the big butt, you know,
But what I'm saying is he's the worserment. Well,
will you guys knock it off with worserment, okay?
Well, he said betterment, so I...
To the detriment.
Okay, that was it. That's the word I was looking for.
Well, all right. Yeah, I was looking for it, too.
No, you weren't. No, you weren't at all. You just used my word.
So I used your word, man. I mean, that's... Never mind.
Never mind. That's the smartest thing you've said so far. Never mind. The detriment of society is such, Mr. Henry, that people impinge on other people's rights and activities and behaviors, and I believe that is ultimately what's going to lead our country to a much less richer experience as human beings. Remember that America, at the end of the day, is a place where the individual can do what he or she pleases without having to answer to anyone. What Mr. Dowder is proposing is a society that continues to breathe down your neck and walk up to you and tap you on the shoulder and say, why are you out with a fat woman? Your move.
Well, okay, I mean, that was pretty, you know, impressive, counselor, all right. You know, very impressive indeed. But I'm afraid you didn't make the case to the jury. I'm not walking up to you and saying that you don't have the right to be out with a fat woman. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying if you want to go out with something like that, please, please do. But what I'm saying, well, I forgot now. Yeah, see, I knew he'd forget. I bet you've been doing bowl after bowl, haven't you? That's really none of your concern. Well, it is, Mike. What were you going to say? I forget.
Wait a minute. Did you really forget what you wanted to say?
Yeah, I did. I was just...
Yeah, it's because he's doing one bowl after the next. I don't think you've taken one clean breath of air, have you?
Just hold on for a minute, man. Okay, so...
He hasn't felt... This guy has been blasted up bowl after bowl after bowl. Okay, kid?
Wait a minute. Okay, so the worshipman of society, and then,
Yeah, I win.
No, you don't win, man. You don't win.
Yes, I do.
Jeff, unless you can remember what it was you wanted to say, we have to allow Harvey to be the winner of this debate.
Okay, hold on for just a minute. Okay, so, you were talking about the worshipman, and I go, yeah, the worshipman, and then he goes, no, you go detriment, and he goes, yeah, that's what I said, and I said, yeah, me too, and he goes, no, you didn't. And then
you can't go back over the whole damn. You can't go back over the whole damn argument.
I'm gonna.
Hold on. So he goes, and then shoot.
Okay, Jeff. I'm afraid we have to call this a Harvey Weinman win.
And that, you know, I mean, I'll tell you this much: you're only letting him win because he's old.
No, he's not letting me win because I'm old. He's letting me win because I won. You're an idiot. You can't remember what you were gonna say.
It was right after you said the worshipman, and I go, yeah, worshipman. Then you go, yeah, no, detriment. Okay.
Yeah, no. You don't know what you're talking about, you dim bulb. I can smell the dope on you here on the other end of the phone. I can smell it coming through the receiver.
You can't smell no dope.
Tell me you haven't been doing bull after bull. Tell me.
I haven't been doing bull after bull.
Are you lying?
Is he lying? Yeah, are you lying?
Yeah, I am lying, yeah.
Okay, you know what, I'll give you points for that. You got my respect. You're a liar. You're a lousy, stinking, crawling liar, and you lied about having bowl after bowl after bowl. But I will give you that. You were honest.
Well, you said I was a lying, stinking crawler.
What? I didn't...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, he said you're a lousy, stinking, crawling liar.
Yes, that's what I didn't say, that you were a lousy.
Yeah, see, man, I may have been doing bowl after bowl, but you're still senile, and nothing's ever going to bring that back, man.
You know what? You know, I'm going to show you how, see, if I ever see you, I'll invite you to Vegas. I will invite you. I'll fly you here just so I can kick your ass. What do you think about that?
I think, you know what, I think you're a baby, man.
Okey, look, Harvey, you win. Get back to your gambling. Jeff, sorry. Better luck next time. Thank you and good night.
Well, I mean, all I wanted to do...
Because I can't...
Yeah, it sounded to me like Harvey Weirderman or Weirderman won.
He did win. He didn't wage a very effective battle, but he did win, only because Dowder forgot what it was he wanted to say.
Yeah, that's what I call like a... What they call that in soccer, own goal?
What's that?
That's when you kick the ball into your own net. I forget what that's called. It's an own goal?
Yeah, own. Or you I don't know.
Anyway, when you kick the ball into your own net.
That's about as stupid as you could ever be.
It happens, bud, because the ball is in front of that net. It's bouncing all over the damn place. You don't know where it's going to go sometimes. All right, so congratulations, Harvey. You win that. So you have the right in America to do whatever the hell it is you want to do. And Harvey was debating on that side, and Jeff felt that society should have some mitigating influence on you, especially if you want to go out with a fat woman. All right. I found something when I come back. You really can't see it. We were talking about the Danny and Gaius crash at Indy in 1981. So I'm going to show that during the next break on Phil TV. And then when we come back, we'll just have some odds and ends and some news and other things to report on here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show for this Tuesday night. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Just because I forgot, he forgets all the time, too. Yeah, but I didn't forget this.
Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know what put me in mind of that Danny and Gaius crash, but we were talking about motor racing, and we were talking about that show on Fox Speed Week called, or it's not Fox Speed, it's called Fox Speed called Pinks.
Yeah, it's about getting pink slip.
Yeah, racing for pink slips. And there's a show now, folks, I don't know if you know this or not, but it's a show, it's a game, it's a racing game show. You know, everything is a game show now. I mean, they've got game shows for everything. Dancing and singing and juggling and racing automobiles now. And it's called Pinks, and people actually race against each other for pink slips. So we were talking about racing, and we were talking about the relative safety of racing and so forth. We started rapping about accidents, and I got into this Danny and Gaius crash in 1981. Of all the racing, and I've been to live races. I've never seen any crashes at live races that have been as bad as the ones I've seen on TV. In other words, I've never seen a crash at a live race where it resulted in fire. Certainly, I don't think I ever saw a... I was at one race at Long Beach when Clay Regazzoni, who was a international driver, Italian driver, lost control of his car, and he wound up being paralyzed in this wreck. I remember seeing the wreck, but it wasn't the kind of a flaming, explosive, spectacular crash that sometimes you associate with racing. But the ones you see on television, I mean, obviously they got 5-6 different camera angles, and I was watching the Indy 500 in 81 when Danny Gaius, who was one of the drivers in the open-wheel Indy cars, somehow had been involved in a horrific crash, and I don't now recall what caused it, but I remember just looking at this clip, and now it brought it all back to me. His car was in pieces. There was nothing left of his car, and you see what's left of it is a flaming wreck, and there's the roll cage, that little cage that the driver sits in. Now, by the early 1980s, they were designing those open-wheel cars, and I guess they probably were designing the NASCAR, NASCAR race cars the same way, where they no longer were one big unit that would just go bouncing around on the track if you lost control of it, but pieces of it would shear away. And they found that that was infinitely safer for the driver, because as you lost pieces of the car, the driver is inside that roll cage, and he's protected much better than if he were a part of a bigger missile flying through space, totally intact, this big 3,000-pound thing. So, sure enough, there's Ungaius in this wreck. The car is pieces of it shearing away. The tires you can see bouncing down the track. I think one of them actually leapt over the fence and injured one of the spectators. And the tail end of the car is on fire, but as the car comes to a stop, you see Ungaius unconscious, sitting there in that little roll cage, but safe. And literally, the car was sliding down the track, and you see this guy who he's out cold, and he's like just a passenger on this flaming wreck of a thing that sooner or later is going to come to a stop. You don't know how or you don't know when, but he's inside this little roll cage and he's unconscious, and it finally just slid to a stop on the backstretch of the track there at Indy, and then out come all the safety guys. They put the fire out. And the good news was that he survived, and I think Danny and Gaius went on to race again.
Why would anybody want to get back into a race car after that's happened?
Well, you got to do it. You got to do it, and you got no choice.
Why?
Otherwise, you probably look chicken.
Oh, sure. You're going to look chicken. Why would anyone
Well, Margaret, do you, you've been in automobile accidents, haven't you?
Well, I haven't been in an automobile accident where I'm unconscious and I am, you know, I'm sitting there in a flaming automobile. I've been in some wrecks. Don't worry about it. I've been in some wrecks, but I've never been in a wreck. Let me put it to you this way. The last accident that I was in, the car was airborne, and I was, you know the story, when Frank was out of control and I was chasing him. You remember that?
Well, this was when Frank left the house, right?
Yes.
And the two of you had been drinking.
No, you got it wrong again. Frank had been drinking.
Were you not stopped by the police?
Well, the police stopped because of the damage that had been done. Let me, can I tell the audience the story, or do you want to destroy it and make me look like a drunk?
No, go ahead, Margaret. I'm almost certain.
No, you're not almost certain of anything. Frank Gray, my husband, got very drunk one afternoon at our home. It was the tail end of a cocktail party we'd had, an afternoon party. Frank jumped in his car and took off. And I said, where's Frank? They said, Frank is steaming down to Sunset Boulevard, and he's on his way, and we don't know what he's going to do. Well, I said, well, that will not stand. I went, got into my car, and at that time I had a little SL, a Mercedes, a sports car. I took off after him. He saw me, and that's when he began to bounce off the parked cars. That's number one.
Yeah, okay, but that's when the cops saw that happen. They breathalyzed both of you.
May I finish?
Well,
may I finish? I took off after Frank. When he saw my car behind him, he had some sort of an automatic reaction. And that's when he lost control. He bounced off of three parked cars. And I, seeing that and wanting to follow him, I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, yeah. Margaret, I got to speed the story up. And I happen to know the story. Frank was bouncing off of parked cars.
No, you don't know the story.
Wait a minute. Frank was bouncing off of parked cars. And you, in following him intently, started bouncing off of parked cars, too.
Because I was looking at his car.
Okay, fine. The two of you wound up side over side, am I right?
No, I did. Frank didn't, because of some movie, I don't know.
Yeah, well, okay, you were side over side. What happened to Frank? He got airborne, didn't he?
He got airborne over the park, yes.
Okay, so you got Frank airborne, and he finally comes to rest, crashing into that clump of trees. Your car is side over side and then bursts into flames, right?
No, it was one of the parked cars.
Okay, that lady's car burst into flames.
There's two. I got the Beverly Hills. The Beverly Hills Bugle is right here.
Give me that, the Beverly Hills Bugle. Oh, this is that weekly, yeah. Two cars burst into flames. Well, mine wasn't one.
All right, so here's what happened. Margaret's husband is drunk, takes off from the house one afternoon. Margaret goes chasing after him. Why?
Because I wanted to know where he was going.
Because you wanted to know where he was going. He got freaked out when he saw her car in a rearview mirror. He steps on it and immediately bounces off of two parked cars. She bounces off of the same parked cars, and somehow she is side over side. How did he get airborne?
He hit a ramp, I think, some kind of a ramp.
He hit a ramp?
Well, he wasn't on the street at that point.
So anyway, his car gets airborne and crashes into a fountain or some sort of a stone structure in a park, and Margaret's car doesn't burst into flames. You're right. It was two other cars. So you hit a total of four cars. Two of them caught on fire.
Let me tell you the cars that caught on fire. They were Pintos.
Okay, Margaret, they were Pintos. Fact is, they never would have burst into flames had you not hit them. Thank God there was nobody in them.
No, there wasn't anyone in them. There were Christmas presents, and they made a big deal out of that.
Well, you burned up someone's Christmas, basically.
Oh, I am so sure.
Well, Margaret, if you set fire to a guy's car and all of the Christmas presents... So, Frank winds up going into the hospital with whiplash. You walked away.
Yes.
You're walking away, arguing with the cop the whole way. The whole thing is a mess. There's two flaming wrecks on Sunset Boulevard. Frank's car, there's a fountain of water shooting 300 feet into the air. Frank is blind, stinking drunk. I mean, that's what happened.
You know what? You'll hear from my attorney in the morning. And that attorney, my husband.
Yeah. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. Make sure you have a backstage pass, if for no other reason then you can get a little bit of truth, justice, the American way, and quality radio into your life. We'll see you guys tonight at 10 on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And until then, let that be a lesson to you.
You'll hear from my lawyer in the morning.
Yeah, you already said that.
What, you'll hear from my lawyer in the morning?
Phil Hendry.